Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Well, another cap and t-shirt game, 12 out of 14 seasons, but as we saw, it's never easy.
No, it's pretty easy in the AFC East, Fred. You got to admit it.
It wasn't easy in the first half.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, in all seriousness, you might say that the division is down. I would say the division is down. I won't put words in your mouth. And it has been traditionally. But to win 12 out of 14 years and six in a row, that's pretty impressive. That consistency that the Patriots have shown with Brady and Belichick, I don't care who's in the division, to never have a down year, that's pretty impressive.
Patriots run the East, like the T-shirt says. Pro shopping.
They absolutely do. Well, whether it was easy or not, this game certainly wasn't that easy, particularly in the first half. And, you know, they've been a model of consistency over these 14 years. But this season, starting lately, these first halves haven't been consistent. So what do you think's going on?
Well, early struggles, it's not just lately, early in the year when they were struggling as a team. Some of the early struggles in games were part of the problem. The good thing now is, at least in this game, you've got a special teams play where you block a kick, return it for a touchdown. You got a big interception that sets up another short touchdown. You know, that's keeping you in games, making sure you're not trailing before the offense gets going. But I think it starts with Brady. I mean, I guess that's probably obvious analysis. The quarterback is the most important guy, but he was off. He had balls being batted down. He was throwing balls into the ground. You know, they were showing him on the sideline, kind of pulling on his throwing hand, you know, almost like you would when you're cracking a knuckle or something. I don't know if those two things are related. He's off and they're showing him do his hand on the sideline, which is a story we got into last year for a while. But I thought Brady was off and then the offense follows suit.
Yeah, and the difference this year is the team is less reliant on the offense, and that's a good thing. You know, we talk about Revis and Browner, but it's a lot more guys lately, too.
Well, and it's the production still there on offense, but you're right, Fred, because now it used to be when you struggled early, as they did this week, and, you know, to a lesser extent in San Diego, you were falling behind, and you were building big holes for yourself. Well, this week, they not only didn't fall behind, they were leading despite struggling throughout the first half. And that is because of the defense, and Andy brought up the special teams, too, with the block kicks. We have a block punt 2 weeks ago, a block field goal for a touchdown this week. The complimentary kind of game that the Patriots played way back when, you know, when they were winning titles. But defensively, it's been outstanding. You know, look at the second half. Detroit, 3 points. Green Bay, 3 points in the second half. San Diego shut out. And again, Miami moved the ball really well in the first half of that game. And at times, they moved the ball in the second half, but they didn't get any points. Right. So I think that's the biggest difference between the 2014 Patriots and the recent past.
Six second-half points in the last four games. And guys like Jamie Collins really coming into his own, Dante Hightower coming back, Chandler Jones coming back, and I thought getting stronger as the game went on.
Yeah, I was surprised specifically by Chandler Jones' role. I thought, you know, 25% play time. You know, get a few snaps, build right over the next 3 weeks, and it was boom, almost, you know, 55 snaps out there, and he looked good. It wasn't just that he was out there. He looked good, had the strip sack, was in the backfield a few times. Really, I thought, took advantage in the second half of opportunities to rush, but that's fine. That's what you should do. When you have a chance to, you know, put the opponent out of its misery, do that. But you're right. Jamie Collins is flying around. You know, Bill talked about he's seeing things and just playing faster. He reads a key and boom, he's up there. And, you know, we were talking about this week on our radio show. There's not a lot of guys in the league that, you know, on a couple plays are rushing in the backfield and they're going after, and then the next play they're 30 yards downfield trying to cover somebody in the end zone. He is a unique weapon that is one of the many athletes that are now sort of flying to the football. This defense is becoming, I think, more intriguing by the week.
And, you know, it was funny, Bill Belichick in, I think it's one of his phone conferences this year, mentioned the name Lawrence Taylor as a guy who was all over the field and played special teams. We're seeing that now with Jamie Collins, with the block kick and, you know, being so versatile, as you just said.
Wow, well, I think you made a leap there.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I'm talking in terms of
versatility. I think Bill wants you on line four. I think that Hightower as well, and you guys are absolutely right about Collins and all the different things he does. And Hightower doesn't do as many different things, but around the line of scrimmage in that box, he can get after the passer. He's really strong against the run. Some of the plays that he made on Sunday on Lamar Miller were terrific. And we've also seen him show up in coverage, again, closer to the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Not like Collins. He's not that kind of a freakish athlete like Jamie Collins is. But I think the fact that you got Hightower and Chandler Jones back healthy, but not only back in the lineup, playing at a high level was a huge plus.
And Freddie, I remember when the season opener started for Seattle, you came in the next day, a Friday, because Thursday over, oh, that defense, they're just swarming to the ball. This defense is nowhere near that yet, but it's getting closer to that. There are Ninkovich, Chandler Jones, guys up front making plays. Then you have your linebackers. Then you have your safeties. You know, Brandon Browner hits a guy. Patrick Chung catches the deflected pass. They put three fumbles on the ground. They didn't recover any of them. But if you're giving yourself a chance for five takeaways, you're flying to the football like that, that's just a great sign in late December.
Yeah, no more late yards that they're giving up. They give up a lot of cheap, you know, you got a 30-point lead, you give up two late touchdowns. They don't give up anything cheap anymore.
It's a matter of pride for them. They've got the swagger, the confidence, and the players. And the best part of the game on Sunday, of course, was Jonas Gray.
Let's get back to the defense and talk about the Island of Doom. That's what Paul has dubbed the defense. Run with it, Island of Doom.
Evidently, they dubbed it that in August. Patriots defense is playing at an incredibly high level lately, especially in the second half, shutting out the last two teams. One area that has me a little bit concerned, at least until Sunday, was the pass rush. But with Chandler Jones back, I really liked what I saw from him. He looked like a guy who was fresh, and he should be. He's been out the last several weeks, but he looked like a guy with fresh legs and an explosion coming around the edge. This might be, I think, the missing piece to this defense. I think it's already playing at a championship level, but you add a pass rush to this mix, and I think it could be absolutely unstoppable. Chandler Jones could be that missing piece. Offensively, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag for the Patriots in recent weeks. They've had some slow starts. They've had some slow starts in the second half. One of the things I think they could do maybe to increase production a little bit, especially in the running game, is using a little bit more of the combination of Blunt and Gray. We saw that a little bit against the Dolphins, albeit reluctantly at the end of the game, when Jonas Gray finally got out of exile and got 11 carries, most of them in the second half. I think that Belichick needs to do a little bit of a better job mixing and matching with these two guys. I love Blunt's big play ability. I love his ability to get to the second level and make big plays. And I love Gray getting to the hole quick. I think he does it quicker than Blunt, and he's able to get something out of nothing more often than not, especially late in the game to grind out the clock. Use a little bit more of both. I've been talking about this all year, but the special teams continue to make big plays at big times for this team. And just like back in the old days in 2003 and 2004, they have so many different ways to win games, this Patriots team. Blocked field goal for a touchdown, their third blocked field goal of the year. And oh, by the way, they have a kicker who just became the franchise's all-time scoring leader in Steven Gostkowski. This really is a situation where the Patriots are dominating in all three phases.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
You got guys like Vince Wilfork watching Matt Slater go down there and play gunner on punt team and getting excited about it.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide.
Images of the week from a cap and t-shirt game. This first one is high-flying Jamie Collins with his block kick. Hey, who's that running the ball? It's Jonas Gray. 12 out of the last 14 seasons, the Patriots are AFC East champs.
Player perspective. Brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Patriots kicker Steven Gostkowski is our guest this week, the all-time franchise leader in points. I can't believe that you've been around long enough to be the all-time franchise leader in points. It must have flown by 9 years.
Yeah, it's gone by real fast, and people ask me all the time how long I've been here, and I tell them this is my 9th year, and they're like, no, it's not, and they don't believe me. So I guess it's a good thing. I try to fly under the radar as much as possible, keep my head down, and do my job.
Andy and I got a chance to talk to you the other night during our post-game show, and just the overall success of the special teams. And I know you guys have a very specific role on the special teams, but the block kicks, the, you know, three block field goals, a block punt, it's got to be pretty exciting to be part of those meetings. And when you're putting all that work in and then you're seeing that work, you know, come out there on the field and make big plays, it's got to be rewarding to be part of that.
Definitely, and this is a team where everyone really pulls for each other, and it's not like offense played well, defense didn't, or defense did, vice versa. The special teams lost this game. Like, guys are truly excited and juiced up when another part of the game that you're not on makes a play, and, you know, everyone loves it when we go out there and do our job and make kicks and block kicks and have big returns and stuff a good returner. I mean, you got guys like Vince Wilfork watching Matt Slater go down there and play gunner on punt team and getting excited about it. So there's a lot of respect for what everyone does in this organization, and it's special.
You know, and we always know that you have the little routine where you put the hand up. Is that because you don't know where the uprights are and you want to make sure you see them?
I really don't know why I started doing it. I think I saw someone else do it, and I thought it looked good. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look good. I look dumb out there. But I think sometimes when you look at the field goal posts, like from an angle, especially in college because the hashes were wider, like you want to square your body up to the middle, and where the middle is a little different when you're at an angle. I don't know. So I just started doing it to make sure that my, like, the middle of my body was lined up with the middle of the uprights. I don't remember who I saw doing it, but I saw someone do it in college, and I tried it, and I had a good game, so I did it ever since then.
Biggest challenge Patriots defense faces this week heading to New York to take on the Jets is the run game. New York doesn't do a lot of things well on offense, but number two rushing attack in the National Football League. Chris Ivory ran for over 100 yards of Jets' 200-plus yards here in New England in the first matchup. Patriots now have a top 10 run defense, and according to Bill Belichick, the Jets present the greatest challenge in terms of schemes and run issues that the Patriots have faced in a long time. The challenge for the Patriots' offense is simple. Get off to a fast start and score some points. Jets 30th in the NFL in points scored this year. Less than 20 points in 9 different games. Interestingly, their season-high 25 points came right here at Gillette Stadium against the Patriots. Patriots have struggled a little bit early in games of late. Last week, they needed a blocked field goal return touchdown to get on the scoreboard in the first quarter. Haven't scored double-digit first-quarter points since week 5. Going to New York, seems like it'd be nice to break that trend. And finally, we talk about it almost every week. It's a key stat, turnovers. Patriots, plus 11, fourth in the NFL. Jets, minus 11, 31st in the NFL. Patriots got back into the takeaway game last week with 2 interceptions, also forced 3 fumbles even though they didn't recover them, and the Jets are more than willing to give you the football, especially Geno Smith. Interception in all but 3 of his games this year. Of course, one of those games without a pick was right here at Gillette Stadium. That's why you were in a dogfight. Keep the turnover trend going.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Revis is great. Gronkowski's is the greatest.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Aside from the Patriots, the team I'll be most interested in this week is the Cardinals. Here's a team with the best record in the NFC, guaranteed a playoff spot, and no one is giving them a chance. That's because they're down to playing Ryan Lindley at quarterback in his first ever NFL start. And the rest of the offense, well, other than Larry Fitzgerald, can you name anyone? And Fitzgerald is no longer the same receiver Patriots fans think is coming to New England via trade every year. What the Cardinals do have is a defense, and a darn good one. And a coach in Bruce Arians who seems to push all the right buttons. He'll need to do his best motivating this week because they'll be hosting the surging Seahawks in a huge game that could decide the division. I'll be watching and rooting for the Cards.
Raise your hand if you knew what was going to happen in San Francisco this season before the year started. I certainly didn't. I didn't see anything like this. I thought the Niners once again would contend in the NFC and be one of the better teams right there with Seattle out there in the NFC West. It just hasn't happened. Jim Harbaugh is coming apart at the seams. What an absolute dysfunctional mess the Niners have become. They have players getting arrested before the start of the season. They have injured guys that they've been holding out hope for to come back. They never were able to. And obviously the situation with the coach, not knowing what his contract situation is going to be moving forward, just an utter, utter mess. Unbelievable how dysfunction can bring down an absolutely talented football team, and the Niners are going to miss the playoffs.
That time of year again, the holiday season. And we know what that means, of course. In the NFL, it means owners are considering firing their football coaches. As the old saying goes, you can't fire all the players, so you fire the coaches when things don't go well. The problem is, in some NFL cities, I think fans would like to fire the owners, but you can't. But I'm going to make a list of the guys who, if you could, should be fired. Let's start in the AFC East. 2 different names. In New York, Rex Ryan has had some struggles. John Idzik, not the answer, but Woody Johnson has been a debacle, wearing his cap and a suit as the owner of the Jets. Down in Miami, Stephen Ross, you're worried about the red carpet, the entertainment, the fins up. Worry about winning and doing things the right way, the people will come. Then you look at Oakland. Al Davis rolling in his grave at what Mark Davis is doing with that football team. They should take that team away. Bay Area residents, fire your owner.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
Patriots have had a lot of key contributors all year, so Paul Perillo, I ask you, who's the New England MVP?
For me, it has to be Darrelle Revis. I think the defense is what is making this team just from a very good team to a Super Bowl contender, maybe even a Super Bowl favorite. We've seen what's happened in the past when they've had a lot of offense, and right now they have a lot of offense. Again, they're top of the league in scoring, but the difference to me is that defense, particularly the back line, and it all starts with Revis.
You mentioned the offense, and I'm going to stick with the offense. I'm going Rob Gronkowski because they always have a lot of offense when Rob Gronkowski is healthy and doing his job. Everything flows off of that. We saw that this past Sunday when first half they couldn't get the ball to Gronkowski. The offense wasn't very good. They get the ball to Gronkowski. The offense explodes for a record-breaking third quarter. Gronkowski is the difference for this team. Most irreplaceable weapon in the NFL, MVP.
Yeah, I mean, he might be the most irreplaceable weapon in the NFL, but the MVP, is still Revis. And it's all about all the different things that Belichick can do and Matt Patricia can do because of his presence. I think you've seen him cover one-on-one so many different kinds of receivers. It's, you know, you can lock him up against Calvin Johnson for a play or two in the red zone. You can lock him up against Jarvis Landry this past week, a smaller, quicker slot kind of guy, and really anything in between. And he's equally as effective. That allows you to double up coverage other places. It allows Brandon Browner to play his physical style and not necessarily have to worry about, you know, guys getting behind him or having to cover the number one receiver all the time. It allows you to get more creative up front. I think the pass rush, we've seen different stuff, different kind of when was the last time you saw this team in base defense? It's always some kind of different sub package and different things going on up front. I think it all starts with Revis. I think his coverage allows you to do so many different things.
Darrelle Revis is very good, and he was pretty good in September when he was healthy and on the field and you had the 2-2 Patriots and they were a struggling football team. Rob Gronkowski was a 50% player at that point, both in terms of health and how much he was playing. When he decided he was ready in week 5 against the Bengals, became a full playtime guy, what happened? Patriots went on a roll of dominance, and that's all because of 87. Revis is great. Gronkowski's is the greatest.
You know what? I actually agree with that last point that you made about Gronkowski was a 50% playing time play in that first month, and it changed. You know what else changed? Bill Belichick decided that Darrelle Revis was a great defensive player who transformed his defense, and he allowed him to play man-to-man almost exclusively from October on. And, oh, by the way, the defense has been dominant since October on.
Yeah, I don't know if
same
I'll go
kind
dominant.
Of thing.
The defense
same
has
kind
been very good. The offense dominant. Has been dominant more often than not. And the great part of this debate is I think we're both right. They're both awesome. And because
they're
they
both
have those
pretty good
two,
players now.
And Brady, they are a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. Locked and loaded for New England's wicked winter weather. Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Here's this week's fantasy tip brought to you by DraftKings. Of the 10 millionaires crowned on DraftKings this season, two have used Tom Brady in their winning lineups compared to just one team using Peyton Manning. Remember, you can win real cash prizes playing fantasy football at DraftKings.com. Head over there today and use the promo code PFW to receive a free entry into a weekly fantasy football contest. All right, it's that time of the show where we answer your questions in a little different setting than usual.
I feel cooler.
Yeah.
It's
literally
cold.
You should. It's freezing. But first, the Wilson Hart Power Index. Andy, what's going on?
Well, the Patriots stay at the number one slot. They've increased the divide a little bit with them and the Green Bay Packers. And then you have the Broncos jumping up to 3. Seattle drops down to 4. We still have the Arizona Cardinals, Fred, your favorite team, at 5. You know, pretty much the good teams are staying at the top. And as always, I like to update you, the Jets are 31st. They moved up one slot with a victory. I'm sorry about that.
Who took the cellar there?
That'd be Mark Davis's Oakland Raiders.
Okay. All right, these are the questions you sent to AskPFW at Patriots.com. The first one comes from Sean, and he asks, might Gronkowski be emerging as a dark horse candidate for league MVP?
Yeah, Paul and I just argued Patriots MVP, and I went with Gronkowski. I would also consider him a candidate for league MVP.
I'm stunned.
I think he's an irreplaceable weapon. I think when he got healthy and good, the Patriots got good, scored a lot of points. We've seen his value. You know, everybody likes to say the value of a player. We've seen it
a lot over the last couple of years with him out of the lineup. Last year, they fell off the map when he left the offense. You know, it's a weird year. There's no obvious candidate. Aaron Rodgers was the leader, and then he struggles in Buffalo. You have J.J. Watt, a defensive player, trying to win it for the first time in 30 years. Those votes might get all spread out. Maybe Gronk can sneak in. I'd give him my vote.
Okay.
Again, I'm stunned.
Aaron writes in, I'm a big Patriots fan from Hungary and a longtime follower of Ask PFW. I noticed that Tavon Wilson plays more snaps on defense in the last few weeks. Has he earned more time because of defensive formations, or is he showing progress during practice?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. Probably a better one for Bill Belichick as to why he's getting the time. I do think that he's shown up a little bit late in games, yep. Making some plays. So perhaps that performance is earning him a little bit more of a look later in games. But I still would be more convinced that he's, you know, sort of knocking on the door of playing time if he was playing a little bit earlier in some of the situations when right. the game is still in question. But I do say he made a great play, I thought, on Gates on the fourth down against San Diego to end that game. It was only a 9-point game. He ended that last drive. And then, you know, getting out there a little bit late, I think a lot of people played. This game was a little bit more out of hand. But
right.
Tavon Wilson's a guy who's worked hard on special teams. He's contributed in that area. And maybe Belichick is looking to see if he can figure out how to get him. Daron Harmon's played a little bit more the last few weeks. Maybe Belichick is looking to get Wilson on the field, too.
Okay, Marcos Bautista says, I was looking at some mock drafts for 2015, and what I've seen the most is New England acquiring running back Todd Gurley. What do you think about that?
I think it's interesting. And the injury and the position make it interesting. Last couple of years, no running backs going in the first round. Gurley was probably a first-round candidate.
Yep.
Now with the torn ACL and missing the time, he's going to fall down.
ACL? Oh, they'll definitely take him.
Yes, we know they like ACLs. Unfortunately, they might not have to take him in the first round like this year where they get Easley. But we've seen Belichick do it with Easley. He did it in the second round with Brandon Tate because he represented value. And I think they would consider it. You look at the running back depth chart. Yes, they're going to have Gray and Blunt back. But if you let go of Ridley, if Vereen's gone, you might have a hole there. Plus, you don't know when he's going to be ready. And he's a really good player who might present value. The question is, though, where does he go? Is it second round? Is it third round? Willis McGahee days are over. He's not going in the first round, in my opinion. But I think Bill will kick the tires.
Sign me up for Gurley. I'd take a shot at him if it was in the middle round.
You know, he's a Gurley man.
I'd take a shot at him. He's a terrific running back. ACL or no, Freddie.
All right. Good questions this week. Every week, send them to AskPFW at Patriots.com.